online course at no cost to you. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. You will only pay for your textbooks. Your tuition is free. Do you want to know the Bible better? Are you a Sunday school teacher, deacon, or a Christian seeking to know God's Word? Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for more information. CTU, training ministry workers since 1982. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you again, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Dr. Glenn Davis from up in Folkestone, Georgia, is around the round table in our studio today. We're talking about a subject that multitudes may never have considered. Some have thought about it and thinks that it's an impossibility. And the issue is, in question form, can God hate? Now, I'd love to hear from you today. 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Perhaps you're listening and say, why, that's unheard of. God loves everybody. God can't hate because God is love. That's the mantra in the woke progressive society in which we're living in today. And under the banner and the guise of the deception from Satan himself and the woke progressive mindset that's found in multitudes of our churches today, even, there's the mindset that says that, oh, I can do whatever I want to. God does not hate me. God loves me just as I am. And that's tearing churches apart, ladies and gentlemen. That's destroying the work of the Holy Spirit in churches today. There are churches today in America, some of which I am fully aware of, where large numbers of staff members, and each one has the mindset that I'm going to have my way, regardless of what is right or wrong, regardless of what is biblical, regardless of what is the chain of command and the leadership role in my church, I'm going to have my way or no way, and as a result of that, start tearing the foundation away from the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, perhaps you say, I've never heard of that. Well, you've not been in a church very long. There's the mindset, somehow, some way, I can do whatever I want to, and God still loves me. And the Bible is very, very clear in the Proverbs 6:16-19, where this passage focuses primarily on attitudes, focuses on actions, it focuses on characteristics that God hates. But in the latter portion, the seventh thing that's spoken of is he that soweth discord among the brethren. And the Bible says God hates the he that soweth discord among the brethren. I've told people down through the years, there are churches of every personality, every kind, every persuasion, etc., etc. If you're in a church where you can't study the Word, you can't settle on the Word, you can't listen to the Word, you can't allow the work of the Holy Spirit of God to work in your heart, find another church or get saved. The mindset is today that I'm going to have my way. And it simply is a problem in our churches. In fact, the he that soweth discord among the brethren does refer to a person, not just a personality, not just an action, not just a trait, not just a deed, but he that soweth discord. What is discord? That's the question, Dr. Davis, I believe that we need to deal with. Tell us, tell our listeners, then we'll kind of bound it about, see if others have ideas or descriptions. What does it mean to sow discord? Notice it didn't say discord in the world, but discord among the brethren. That's the church. Tell us about that.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, when we consider, let me go back to Leviticus chapter 19, where the commandment was first given. Here's what the scripture says in Leviticus 19 and 16. He said, "Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord."
Amen.
God is taking a firm stance right there to let you know who he is. In other words, he's saying, "I'm not playing with you. I am the Lord. I am the one who made you, and I am the one who are commanding you what you are going to do." God doesn't ask us to do anything. He commands us to do it. Now, what we have to understand, based upon his love, like you said a while ago, his love is two-sided.
Yep.
One side, he loves you when you do right. And the other side, he still loves you even when he judges you.
That's right.
For not doing right. I used to hear the old saints in the church says, God handles a two-edged sword. When he hits you with that sword, it cuts you going in and it cuts you coming out. When it cuts you going in, it lets in something good from his word. But when it cuts you coming out, it lets something out of your heart that should not be there.
Amen. That's a good statement. I
like we that. Need that. We need more of that in the church today. Because here, right here, now when we look at the one that sold discord, and like you said, there's a lot of problem with that in the body of Christ today. Because many, and my mind goes back to even the Apostle Paul when he was going around preaching and trying to establish the churches in the book of Acts, I believe that's chapter 16. He said many of them did not want to hear anything but something that was coming, that was considered to be brand new that nobody else heard.
Acts 17, yes.
So listen, we have to understand when it comes down to the word of God, the Bible said that there's nothing new under the sun. The word is what it is, and it means what it says when you read it. All we have to do after we read it and study it and understand it is apply it to our lives. Obey what it says.
Absolutely.
What God is telling us to do.
Absolutely.
Then we can see things begin to come forth in our life. We bring forth the right fruit, in other words.
Absolutely.
To be able to prevent the judgment that comes from not doing right.
Absolutely. And one of the things, Dr. Davis, and to our listeners, by the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you. What are your thoughts? Do you believe God hates he that soweth discord? What is discord? Have you ever done that? Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever sown discord in a church? Have you ever picked up a little rumor and you, by telephone, telegraph, and tell others, you've spread it? Have you ever been in a position where you didn't like something in the parliamentary rule and carrying out of the body of Christ in your church, and you tried to undermine it, tear it down, and destroy it? That's sowing discord. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that most Christians never realize when that heart carries the seed of discord, it destroys the work of the Holy Spirit in a church. It divides the body of Christ. It dissipates the church and its effectiveness in the local community. But by the way, Dr. Davis, we're talking about discord. It's gossip, rumor, lying, carrying tales that divide the body of Christ. In fact, in Romans 16, 17, ladies and gentlemen, the Apostle Paul said this. "Now I beseech you, brethren," mark them. That means to identify, know who they are. "Mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have heard, learned, and avoid them." Dr. Davis, I think that's a pretty good admonition. I have found, ladies and gentlemen, in less than 100 years, that when there's a discord sower, if I can use that terminology, one that spreads the gossip, one that undermines the body of Christ, one that wants to continue to nag at the procedure and the process of pastoral leadership somehow, there's the mindset that I'm going to have my way, without recognizing that God's word says, bingo, that's the person I hate. And that's a pretty dangerous term, ladies and gentlemen. That's sowing discord. That's listening to complaints, repeating the complaints, taking sides in the gossip. It will divide the body, it will destroy the work, and it will cause disunity in the body of Christ. And when the Apostle Paul said in the 16th chapter of Romans and the 17th verse, mark them, identify them, don't have anything to do with them. What does that mean, Dr. Davis? Let me just type a loose end before you answer the question. Multitudes of times, these things will come to fruition, come to the forefront. The pastor will have to, pastor and sometimes pastor and deacons will deal with it. Then you have the balance of the body that says, oh, look at Brother Tom, look at Brother Joe, look at Miss Susie. They're good people. Let's embrace them. Let's take them to lunch. Let's pity them. Oh, look what the church has done to you. Look what the pastor has done to you. Look what's happened. That's destroying the work of the Holy Spirit. Because the idea when you study this text in fruition, it's the avoiding them, have nothing to do with them, so that they might be shamed, repent of sin, and come back into the fellowship. Dr. Davis, talk about that for a moment.
Well, I mean, the Bible gives us the perfect formula, Dr. Youngblood, how to deal with that. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, we don't want to run anybody. You know, we want to welcome everybody.
Amen.
At the foot of the cross.
Amen.
Because Christ died for everyone. Even those Al-Qaeda people out there that hate him, mm-hmm. the Muslims that say he's not the Son of God, etc., etc., the socialist Marxists, society that's out there today, I call them the degenerates.
That's right.
Because they are degenerate in every sense of the word, because they promote things that's contrary to the word of God and anything connected to the body of Christ. He loves them also, but we have to understand God has given us the proper formula how to deal with that situation, because Matthew chapter 18 verses 15 through 17 says, let me read it. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. And if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Mm-hmm. In other words, you disconnect him from the fellowship of the church, because right. if you don't,
it's going to destroy the church.
The Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump.
That's right, absolutely.
After a while, it'll be gotten so far out of hand until you get to wondering, how did this happen? Mm-hmm. Now, as you said earlier, many pastors, can I just say it, are not educated mm-hmm. in the sense of what needs to be done
right.
according to Scripture.
Absolutely.
I'm not trying to say that to shame anyone, but all at the same time, if you are a leader, God are holding you to the highest standards of teaching and preaching His Word, and also obeying, being that living example before all
Amen.
People.
Amen.
So if you're not teaching and preaching the truth so that your people can come to the knowledge of the truth, then this is what's going to happen. You're going to have talebearers, troublemakers, all kind of different people coming through the body of Christ, tearing it up so bad until, well, after a while, it's going to be so far out of control until you may lose the whole church altogether. Mm-hmm. So once again, this is not something to play with.
That's right.
We need to be very serious about this, because this is the reason why it's hard to win anybody over today to come to the body of Christ, because they already see trouble right there. So a lot of them say, and I've heard sinners say this, well, if they're not loving one another, if they're talking about one another, Why should I go over there and join that? That's happening out here where I'm at.
It's a bad witness. Absolutely.
So I don't need to connect myself with that. Once again, let's not bring a shame and a scandal upon the name of Christ Jesus.
Absolutely. In fact, I go back to the Proverbs 6, verse 12. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. That is a smart mouth, a babbly mouth, a gossipy mouth. And then says, he winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart, he deviseth mischief continually, he soweth discord. And it's talking about contention and strife, and it provokes that contention and strife. So, Dr. Davis, I think with the point of the conversation and discussion, that we need to ask a question and spend the time answering it. What can that person do that finds himself in the position and says, oh, my Lord, that identifies me. I've been sowing discord, and God hates me. What does that person do? Is repentance possible? Is salvation possible? Because if God hates he that doeth it, it is saying there's a need for that person to repent, receive the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe. Now, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you say, I don't need to do all of that. But listen very carefully. If you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, it's an impossibility. Hear me. It's an impossibility to be found in the category of he that soweth discord that God hates. Because God loves the sinner that's confessed the sin and been forgiven. In fact, Dr. Davis, there's some things that need to be dealt with. Isaiah 55:7 says, let the wicked forsake his ways, and he will have mercy upon him. What does it mean, let the wicked confess his ways? Now, understand, most of the time we put that in the category and say a lost person needs to say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, forgive me of my sins, come into my heart and save me. Let the wicked. And in the Proverbs 6 text, we're talking about one that God says sows discord, and God says, I hate that person. So what can that person do? How is redemption found? What should the person do to be right with God? Speak to that for a minute.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, once we find these things out, we can recover ourselves from the snare of the devil. Mm-hmm. And that happens, like you say, through repentance and confession. It's never too late for you to come to the knowledge. When you come to yourself, like the prodigal son did, even though he left his father, one day he came to himself. It came to him. That's what the scripture said.
Yes.
When it came to him, how much his father had in his house and how he had sinned against his father, he came to the knowledge of knowing that he needed to repent and say, I have sinned against not only you, but I've sinned against heaven. And now, take me back as one of your hired servants. Mm-hmm. He was able to make the right choice at the right time, and by doing so, his life was blessed. And this is the same thing that can happen to anyone that's in that particular situation today. But when you look at sin and how many degrees you can fall to or from the grace of God, Romans chapter 1 describes every single level of wickedness that man continued to fall to until God finally gave them over to a reprobate mind.
That's exactly right, yes.
And once he does that, you can hang up your stocking.
That's right.
You know, it ain't going to be no Christmas, no nothing. Don't look for nothing good to come out of that.
It's done.
Once he gives you over to a reprobate mind.
That's right.
So this is what we're trying to speak to today. If you find yourself in any one of these situations like this, repent while you still have a chance. Because God allows U-turns. You can go back to him, confess your faults, and repent, and be restored back to the fellowship. And especially, listen, you have to understand, the Bible says also, you have to give honor to whom honor is due.
Yes.
That pastor has to watch over your life as one that is even watching over his own soul. Day and night, you have pastors on their knees, and I know I do. Mm-hmm. A lot of times God wakes me up in the middle of the night and brings a person before my eyes.
Yes.
And I know that means for me to pray for them.
Yes.
I don't even know if they're in trouble or whatever they might be facing, but I found in many cases, that usually ends up being trouble somewhere down the line. Sometime the person end up getting sick or getting in some kind of situation where they need some kind of financial help or legal help. I mean, but I've already prayed because that's what God told me to do. And in a few cases, God forbid, I didn't want to see that happen. But some people that I prayed for ended up passing away. Mm-hmm. But my thing was, I was hoping that through my prayer and my intervention, standing in the gap for them, mm-hmm. that somehow they found a way to obtain God's mercy before it was time for them to check out from here.
Absolutely.
So this is the reason why we're saying on today, if you're in any of these type of situations today, repent and get it back right with
absolutely.
God.
Absolutely. In fact, there's a verse that comes to mind. I'll read it for the benefit of our listeners. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, that word is homologeo. If we say what God says, if we call sin, sin as God calls it sin, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
My.
It is the need today, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, for multitudes, perhaps you that are listening, to confess sin, the sin of sowing discord in the body of Christ. I can tell you, Dr. Davis, I can stand in the pulpit in the proclamation of the word, and I can tell you by the sense of it when the work of the Holy Spirit has been quenched. And many times it's as a result of those seated in the audience that's holding contempt and a sense of rejection and rebellion against what's being done or said in the body of Christ or against someone else. It literally quenches the work of the Holy Spirit in a local New Testament church. And we're finding this is pervasive in the New Testament church today. Believers, true believers, I believe, Dr. Davis, cannot walk in the light of the Word of God and love and continue to spew hatred. It's an impossibility. In fact, in the text, we find that is very, very clearly stated in relationship to that. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, 10, and 11. I'm going to read that, Dr. Davis, and let you comment on it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, 10, 11. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. What say you?
Well, when we consider what that's saying, it's really saying if you're walking in sin,
mm-hmm.
sin is darkness,
mm-hmm.
sin is ignorance, sin is, well, let's say you're unlearned, because you don't really know what the Word of God says. So, and it can also mean unskilled.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at all of these things from the context of what it's saying here, he said, he that saith, mm-hmm. now listen, you got to understand you're not fooling God, you're fooling yourself.
Right.
Because you say, that you are in the light and hate your brother. You are in darkness even until now. So that means up until this present time, all of this time that you might have been confessing Christ Jesus, you might have said, well, I got saved back in 1954 and it's now 2026. And you say that you're walking in the light, but you still hate someone.
That's right.
Our and you've not discord, forgiven them.
Are sowing discord, which is in that category.
Since 1954, you're not forgiven them.
Mm-hmm.
So that means since 1954, God hadn't forgiven you either.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're saying this, and you don't mean it from your heart. So he says, verse 10, he that loveth his brother. Now that's the flip side of walking in darkness, because love can only come from a heart of purity, a heart that the Holy Spirit has cleaned up and made you fitting for the kingdom of God. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. When you look at that word abideth, that means you take up residence.
Stay, constantly dwell.
Mm-hmm. In the light, which is the word of God. And he said, there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Listen, the world has a saying that practice makes perfect. And if we continue on practicing the word of God, we're not saying perfect in the sense of never making a mistake.
But maturity.
But perfect in this sense, what I'm speaking about right now, means to come to a level of maturity to where you now understand how to apply the context of the word of God to that particular situation to keep you from submitting to sin so easily.
That's right. Absolutely.
Because that's what happens a lot of times, Dr. Youngblood. We submit to sin when we don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying, he that loveth his brother abideth, taketh up residence in the light, which is the word of God, God himself. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness. That's at the present time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is in darkness and walketh, ETH, that means you continue to walk in darkness even until this time. He said, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes.
Absolutely.
Now listen, not just your natural eyes, but you have spiritual eyes as well, the eyes of your heart.
Right.
And because you have refused to accept the truth from the word of God, you continue to walk in darkness, and now you can't do right no kind of way or another to even save your life. When it comes down time for you to obey the word of God, you can't do it right to save your life.
Absolutely.
So listen, it's time for us as people of God, the Bible say, to wake up out of sleep. Because now is your salvation nearer than when you first believed.
Absolutely. And a closing verse, Dr. Davis, in Matthew the 5th chapter, the 9th verse, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
Amen.
That's the identification of those that refuse to sow discord, those that refuse to participate in the gossip. And I am so delighted that we can find so many texts in the Bible talking about how God loves us. God wants to love us. And in Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man, that is Jesus, lay down his life for a friend. And we find in Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? The bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, God loves us. God wants us to love him. God wants us to walk in light and not in darkness. But it's an impossibility for that person that's walking in darkness, that's sowing seed of discord, tearing down, destroying the body of Christ. God's word says, I hate that person. But he wants to love us, and Christ died for us. Would you today repent of that sin? Would you today say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord? Will you today say, God being my helper from this point forward, I'm not going to sow seed of discord and division in my church? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Amen.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships.